Hi, I'm Ray. Welcome to another podcast episode. So what's this one all about? Your emails. What's that mean? This idea came from Terry from Sheffield. Hello, Terry. Nice to hear from you. Terry said that I must get a lot of feedback from people, emails and all sorts of feedback. That is true. And he said, can we hear what some people say? If it reminds them, for example, of their youth, something about marriage reminds them of their marriage. Great idea, Terry. So what I've done, I've printed out a load of emails, and I've got a lot of them in front of me here on the desk, in the studio, of course, the professional studio. Okay, let's have a look at the first email, see what we've got. Okay, this one's from Mandy, and she's in Scotland. Hello, Mandy. Mandy recently got married. When her chap, her boyfriend of 3 years, proposed to her, she was worried. She didn't want to say no. She was delighted. But she had a problem. A problem that she looked at it as a problem and she hadn't told him. And she said, give me a little bit of time to think about it. He was confused because he had thought they were getting on so well that marriage was inevitable. As the days went by, Mandy chatted to some of her close friends and asked them what she should do. I'll tell you what her problem was in a minute. They suggested that she tell her chap straight away. Don't hesitate. You've got to go and tell him what the situation is. She met him. They went out for a meal. And he again said, will you marry me? She said, yes, but there's a problem. This will be my fifth marriage. Can you believe that? Mandy, five marriages. How do you do it? When I read the email, I couldn't believe it myself. Her fifth marriage. Of course, she thought that she was going to put the chap off. He might think, good grief, five marriages? No, 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 forget that. I'm not going to be your fifth husband. Apparently he laughed and she wondered what was funny. He said, you've got no worries there. I had the same worry. This is going to be my fifth marriage. That's amazing, isn't it? Both of them married four times previously. I couldn't believe it. Mandy says she couldn't believe it when he came out with that. She'd worried and worried for several days, what he would say, you know, when she said, look, you're going to be my fifth husband, would he say, what have you done with the others? Have you killed them all off and got the insurance money? No, no, she hadn't killed any husbands. I better add that. No deaths going on there. Great stuff. So how about that? Five marriages. Do you know, it often takes a few marriages, I think, to find the right person. Look at the first marriage as a bit of a test. You know, let's have a trial run. Get married. And, that didn't work. Now try again. And in Mandy's case, when you get to the fifth marriage, it works. Five. Anyway, let's move on from Mandy's five marriages. Can anyone beat that? Has anyone done six or more? Email me, please. Or give you the email address. It's raysrants@protonmail.com. Okay, raysrants, 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 all one word. @protonmail.com. Okay, let's have a look at another email. Right, this one's from Sally from Shropshire. Hello, Sally. Welcome to you. Thanks for your email. This is working from home. Now, this is a very lengthy email. In fact, Sally's almost written a book, so I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing. But Sally, 10 years ago, started working from home. She began her own business. Now, she listened to the Working From Home podcast and she said that she says here, I had to email you to tell you my disastrous experience of working from home. Now, this is quite a long story, so I'm going to try and keep it short if I can, so I can fit in other emails. After a few years of working from home, successfully building up her business, a friend of Sally's who lived just down the road, don't think she mentioned her name, she had a baby and she had maternity leave. And when she was settled down, the baby was a few months old, she visited Sally and she popped round, had coffee and a chat, and that was fine. Sally didn't mind taking an hour off work. Following day, her friend came round again and again and again. And this happened every week, two or three times a week. In the end, it was every day. And Sally said, look, I've got to work. I can't spend too much time. Come in, have a coffee. I can't spend too much time, though, chatting because I'm really busy. And her friend was, oh, the baby this and the baby that. Oh, look, it's feeding time. And she fed the baby. And then the baby's crying. Oh, the baby's tired. Now, this was Sally's best friend. She didn't want to be rude to her or fall out. But she had to somehow make her understand that this was her working environment. She couldn't really take an hour or more. I think she said somewhere in her email, 2.5 hours one morning, her friend was there. And she didn't know what to do. So her answer was, or part of the answer, the beginning of the answer, was to not answer the door. Now, luckily, Sally worked at the back of the house. That's where her office was. So she couldn't be seen through the window. The first time she didn't answer the door, her friend went away, came back half an hour later. Sally didn't answer. Half an hour later, she rang the doorbell, says here, 5 times over that morning, during the morning. 5 times. Eventually, Sally answered the door. Her friend said, oh, where have you been? I've been ringing the bell. I'm reading all this on the email. I thought you were ill or something. Sally said, no, I was out. I had to go to a meeting. I mean, she lied. She doesn't like lying, she said, but she lied. What could she do? She's got to keep her friend out of it when she's trying to work. She did that 2 or 3 times and it didn't really put her friend off. Her friend came round, kept ringing the doorbell because she only lived down the road. Kept coming back, ringing the doorbell again. In the end, Sally said, look, I'm doing video conferencing. Okay, sometimes I can't answer the door because I'm in the middle of a video conference. Other times I'm out meeting clients. I don't know what her business was. She doesn't say. But it was her office was at home. As I said, there's a lot more to it, but I'll cut it down. The crux of the matter is Sally emailed me because she did the very thing I mentioned in the podcast episode. In the end, she said to her friend, I no longer work from home. I've rented an office in town. And that solved the problem. Her friend obviously didn't ring the doorbell anymore. She thought she was away working somewhere. But what lengths to have to go to. This is the working from home episode, if you remember it. How people think, well, you're at home. You're not really working. I can go around for coffee. I can go and have a chat. But that's not a good idea. And a lot of people don't understand what the problem is. Let's move on. Early retirement. Do you remember that one? The podcast episode I did, early retirement. Jane has contacted me and she said that she retired. Her husband carried on working. She retired and she was really happy. She had her routine. I'm just looking at her. I'm just reading her email now. And she says things were fine. He'd go off to work. She had her routine, housework, blah, blah, blah. He came home at half past five, he came home. Weekends together, perfect. He retired. And she said that, her word here, it was abysmal. She says it was absolutely abysmal. He was interfering, he was trying to help. Oh, I'll do that, she's vacuuming, I'll do the vacuuming. No, it's all right, I've got my routine. I'll put the washing out, I'll do this, I'll do that. He was trying to help. But he was always underfoot, as she put it. What did she put here? Always underfoot. Oh dear, poor chap. He was just trying to help. What happened in the end? Again, this is a long story, so I'll keep it short because I want to fit a lot of these emails in. Jane went and got a job. She went back to work and left her husband at home. And oh dear, they swapped roles. She went to work and he was retired. She said she could not stand it. I'll look at her email here. They were abysmal. Couldn't survive another day. She says, divorce was looming. Goodness me, it wasn't that bad, surely. It seems to be that bad. She got a job, part-time job. I don't know what it was. And that solved the problem. So thank you for that, Jane. That's an interesting one. I like that. Right, the next one is from Brian. Hello, Brian. Thank you for your email, your contribution to this podcast episode. I have actually contacted each person and said, is it all right if I read out parts of your email? So I'm not just doing this without their permission. Right, this refers to the, do you remember the Village Life episode, behind the facade of village life? All sorts of things going on. I've just actually had to listen to that one again, just to remind myself what it was all about. Okay, Brian says he lived in a small village, or still does. In a small village, hasn't said where, probably just as well, to protect the innocent or the guilty. And he said he had an affair. He was married and he had an affair with the postmistress. Now you imagine, don't you, postmistress sort of being an old lady like Miss Marple in the films, yeah, Miss Marple. Anyway, this postmistress was in her 30s apparently, and he had an affair with her, which was highly naughty. But he said that she egged him on. It was all her doing all the pushing and, oh, come on, let's go out for a drink somewhere. He finally ended that because he was married and he had kids and he didn't want to get involved in all that. He didn't want divorce and all that sort of thing. Sometime later, I don't know when, but sometime later, whether it's months or years, he had an affair with the girl that worked in the bank. Now, this must be going back a while, Brian, because banks in villages don't exist anymore. They close them all down, much to people's disappointment and anger. Anyway, he had an affair with the girl that worked in the bank. And again, Brian says it was all her doing. She kept coming on strong to him, and eventually he went out with her and they had a drink and whatever. And he ended that. Now, I don't know whether, Brian, is this true? Reading your email, I'm beginning to wonder. He then had a third affair. Oh, he says within 1 year. So these affairs were fairly close together, Brian. I don't know, is this true? Listen, he had a third affair, right, this time with the girl that worked in the sweet shop. I don't know, Brian, are you extremely good looking? Are you highly attractive, or do you drive a posh car or something? Why were they all attracted to you? Anyway, the girl in the sweet shop, that affair lasted for a long time. Doesn't say how long, just says a lot. Oh, hang on, read on a bit. Lasted 18 months. The point of Brian's email, I just skipped through to the end, is about this village life and the things that go on and the facade. Apparently the sweet shop girl, her father was the vicar. Now, do you remember me talking about that? You'll have to listen to the previous podcast. He was the vicar. His daughter works in the local sweet shop. She's having an affair with Brian. And apparently, Brian says, that he wasn't the first. She'd had affairs with several men. Now, I don't know what... Brian, you'll have to tell me which village this is, because I'd like to go and have a look and see these people. No, only joking. So he had this affair with the girl in the sweet shop. He goes on to say there were several other affairs that he had. He doesn't say with whom. Hang on, I hadn't read this bit, Brian. He says here, my wife also had several affairs with several men in the village. I don't know what sort of village that is. Mind you, reading on again, Brian is saying that he thinks all villages are the same. Well, I must admit, Brian, the village I lived in was a little bit, raunchy. Risque, the things that were going on. Thank you for that, Brian, and thank you for your permission for me to read that out and hopefully make people smile or cry. I don't know. I don't know which. This one is from Deborah in the US. She doesn't say where, just US. Now, Deborah, when you first emailed me with your complaints, I must admit I laughed, but I did email you back. Now, what I'll do, let me tell you what her email said. Your podcasts entice people to bunk off school, to commit adultery, and to get drunk. That's how the email started. And do you remember that, Deborah? Of course you do. That's how her email started. And she said, you talk rubbish. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm just getting bits from the email here. I can't mention that. Whoops, I nearly said that. A lot of this, Deborah, I can't actually read out because of your flowery language. Anyway, I contacted Deborah and I said to you, could I quote some of your email on this podcast? And she emailed back. She said, yes, you can. She said, I didn't mean any of that. I was in a bad mood and I took it out on you. Okay, Deborah, well, I hope you don't have too many bad moods. One of the funniest parts is she says here, I reckon you're one of these internet people who hide behind a fake identity. You're probably really an old man. Yeah, Deborah, I am an old man. I am an old man. I'm not pretending to be a teenager or something. I've got the wrong voice for that for a start. How could I be a teenager and remember things from the 1950s and 60s? No, I am an old, I like that. You're probably really an old man. Okay, Deborah, we'll leave it there. There are other bits of the email, but as I said, I can't read those out because I'll probably get arrested. There's another strange one, or odd one here. I couldn't contact this chap, so I won't mention a name. He said, your recollections of the 1960s pub and the nightclubs is complete nonsense. His words, not mine. Complete nonsense. It was nothing like that. Now, I thought that a bit odd. I didn't know why he would start off his email like that. And I wondered where I'd gone wrong. As far as I was concerned, I'd remembered everything as it was. He says, girls didn't wear mini skirts. Right, I don't know where this chap lived, but it certainly wasn't in the UK, because the girls very much did wear mini skirts, because I remember, because I looked. And he goes on to say, they didn't have DJs in nightclubs. Well, they did. Oh, pirate radio. Do you remember I did a few podcast episodes about pirate radio, that sort of thing, DJing on a pirate radio station? He says, pirate radio in the UK, oh, he's mentioned the UK, didn't exist. It was conspiracy, what's this? It was the government. It was the UK government setting up radio stations around the country. But I can't read any more of this. He ends here by saying, I think you need therapy. Well, thank you for that. As I say, I won't mention his name, but thank you very much. Right, let's move on to the next email. Right, this one's funny. I can relate to this because I have grandchildren, granddaughters. This is Jackie. Hello, Jackie. Jackie says that when she went to school many years ago, she hasn't put when, many years ago, wake up in the morning, have a wash, get dressed, have breakfast, brush her hair, grab her school satchel, as she's put it, remember the satchels, and off to school. Basically, that was the morning routine. Now, Jackie recently had her two granddaughters to stay, early teens they are, had them to stay for the week. They're just back to school, okay, so they had to bring all their school stuff with them. And she said, I'll just do this briefly, the morning routine, up out of bed, into the bathroom, right, this is one at a time. An hour later, an hour, emerged from the bathroom. Why? Apparently they have to do their eyebrows. She says, I don't know what they do to their eyebrows, but she says when she went to school, she didn't do anything with her eyebrows. It was wash and brush her hair and that sort of thing. Eyebrows? Now, I've seen this, Jackie. My three granddaughters, their eyebrows, they spend hours. In fact, their mum said to me a little while ago, 2 hours one morning, one of them spent doing her eyebrows. What do you do to your eyebrows? I know that some girls shave them off and then draw them on. I don't quite see the point of that, but anyway. She said that these two teenage girls, hour each in the bathroom, they must have got up pretty early. Breakfast, they sat at the table having their breakfast. Phone in one hand, thumb, click, 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 you know, like they do, click, click on the screen. Not speaking to each other or her. Would anyone like orange juice? Silence. Would anyone like cornflakes? Would you like anything else? Silence. Eventually she said, look, it's 10 to 9 or whatever. The school wasn't too far away. They get up from the table, grab their bags and wander off. Oh, bye, she's saying. She's put here, bye, no response. Have a nice day, no response. They come back from school and flop onto the sofa, dump their stuff on the carpet, flop onto the sofa, thumb again, tick, 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 on the iPhones. She's saying, is that? She says, is this normal? Yes, it is, Jackie, because as I say, I've got granddaughters and that is perfectly normal. Quite a good description, actually. And Jackie says she's got all this, this started her thinking because of remember the school days episode I did? She listened to that. And things, as she says, things were very, very different in those days. Right, coming to an end now, I think. Just got a few quick, almost one-liner type emails from people. One here, do you cut your own hair? No, I don't. Why would someone ask that? Two, what's this one? How tall are you? 6'2". I don't know why anyone would want to know my height. Three, what's this third one? I've written these down on one piece of paper. Three, what size shoes do you take? Who asks? I don't. These are separate emails from different people. I don't understand. Have you got a dog? No, I haven't got a dog or a cat. We've got tortoises, rabbits, and then squirrels in the garden, hedgehogs, no dogs. And someone's put here, why do you make podcasts about things that you obviously have no knowledge of? I'm not sure what that means. Of course I've got knowledge. I was there in the 50s. That's where my knowledge comes from. Why make podcasts about things you obviously have no knowledge of? I don't know. There's a few. Oh, there's one more here. What's the weather like where you are? I don't know. There was no name on that. Doesn't say where they're from. Just what's the weather like where you are? I don't know. Strange, isn't it? I've got a load more emails, but I think, where are we? 20 minutes? Over 20 minutes now. I think that's enough for now. I shall see you next Sunday. Look out for the next podcast episode. And, oh, if you've got any ideas or you want to say anything, if you want to tell me that I'm talking rubbish and I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, then by all means email me. It's raysrants, all one word, raysrants@protonmail.com. raysrants@protonmail.com. Love to hear from you, and with your permission, I'll give you a mention. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.